00-5266. My name is Jink. I am here with Jenna to exhort you to be a member of this radio station.
I just say, you know, the corporate interests, when they have to make sure that they're making a buck, we see what their values are. We see what they put on the radio. Well, you see what our values are when we're beholden to the listener, when we're beholden to you. Look at what ends up going on the radio. You get Democracy Now. You get it twice a day. You get Amy Goodman bringing the kind of stories that, unfortunately, the mainstream media doesn't think of as important. But we know here at Cable, you know, as a listener, you tune in because you say, this is the kind of programming that I want to hear. This is brought to you because of you. This is who we're beholden to, is you, and this is what you are bringing to the airwaves. So continue to bring the airwaves to you in a way that you want to be hearing, in a way that is informed. 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. Shanka,
we want to thank Lauren. Renewing from Lauren. Portland, and I am happy to report that we have made our goal for Democracy Now! But keep it coming, because we are trying to get to $80,000 today. We are so close. Call us right now. We're like 79,000 something. So call right now, 877-500-5266.
I'm Naomi Klein, and you are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, regulators have stopped plans to build a coal facility along the Columbia River.
The Multnomah County Republican Party is trying to raise money for rent by raffling an assault rifle.
And in international news, French trade unions are blocking access to several fuel deposits in response to French employment laws. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, September 26, 2017. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like you to donate and become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Kyle Carrezzi.
And I'm Annette Newell. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Regulators have put the brakes on plans to build a facility along the Columbia River to handle some 44 million tons of coal a year. Washington State's Department of Ecology has rejected a water quality permit for Millennium Bulk Terminals. The department says the proposed facility near the city of Longview would have harmed the environment. The company wants to build and operate the large terminal that would transport coal from the Pacific Northwest to Asia. Millennium CEO says the company will appeal the decision. Environmentalists, tribes, and other groups fiercely oppose this project. The Associated Press reports their concerns include global warming, coal dust pollution, and damage to fisheries. The governor of Wyoming, the nation's leading coal-producing state, previously traveled to pitch the importance of coal exports to the governors of Oregon and Washington.
The Multnomah County Republican Party is attempting to raise funds to pay their office rent by raffling off an assault rifle. Tickets for the rifle raffle are being sold through the group's website, which states that the winner must be at least 21 years old and pass a legal background check to claim the weapon. The same group faced sharp criticism in June when they adopted a resolution allowing the use of militia groups to act as private security at their events. James Bushell, the Multnomah County GOP chair, defended the resolution in a blog post writing, "Unlike Oregon Democrats, funded by billionaires and unions, we are a small grassroots organization with very little money and can only provide protection with volunteers." The raffle drawing will be held on December 4th.
A North Portland pot dealer, Samuel Watson, is trying to open a new state-licensed marijuana shop in the North Portland storefront he previously used for medical marijuana. His girlfriend claimed on social media that she co-owns the recreational cannabis shop. Now that girlfriend is trying to reopen what had been the Concordia Daycare Center in the same location, but with a new name. Those conflicting interests didn't surface until this summer, after two child care employees quit and contacted the state. They accused Watson of keeping large amounts of marijuana inside his Alameda home and putting children at risk. The case highlights a loophole in Oregon's attempt to separate the pot and daycare industries. In 2015, state regulators created new rules that prohibit anyone who applies for a child care license from growing or distributing marijuana, either at the daycare or elsewhere. But the state defines a license holder as the children's primary caregiver. That definition leaves room for a hands-off daycare owner, such as Watson, to keep on selling pot.
Inmates of the Oregon State Penitentiary are campaigning for a healing garden. The Asian Pacific Family Club and the Veterans Association are working at the inmates' request. Plans for a solar-powered memorial garden that will measure 55 by 85 feet were announced last week in Salem. The garden, which supporters state say will help relieve the concrete and metal desolation of prison life, is said to be the first of its kind in the USA. The project had its genesis in 2014 when a former OSP superintendent asked its members of its clubs and associations to brainstorm on ways to beautify the institution. The Asian Pacific Family Club, one of the officially sanctioned social groups of the state penitentiary, first proposed a koi pond, which grew into the idea of a healing garden. The OSP Veterans Association previously succeeded in constructing a veterans memorial wall and also hailed the first of its kind back in 2014. Designs for the proposed garden were prepared by Horichi Kurisu, who supervised construction of Portland's Japanese tea garden in the 1970s.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we're asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Jenna and Jenka to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks, Annette. You can do that by going online, kboo.fm, and clicking on donate, or calling right now, 877-500-5266. This is our fall membership drive. This is one of the few times a year that we come to you, the listener, and ask for your support for this radio station. Every time we ask, you come through. Our listeners have supported this station since 1968. This is a station that is listener-supported, and that means that we are not beholden to corporate interests. We're only able to do this because those of you who have that conscientiousness decide, yes, you're going to do that $5, $10, $20 a month contribution, and that's what keeps this station going day after day, year after year. I'm so proud of everyone who has given this membership drive. I want to thank Molly, who renewed in Portland.
Yay,
thank you so much, Molly.
You.
And that's what put us over the goal last hour. We have a new goal for this hour, and we need you to support in order to reach that goal. The number to call is 877-500-5266. Come on, call and help us make homemade, handcrafted radio possible.
And remember, if you become a member today, you'll be entered into our daily drawing. And today's drawing is for six pairs of main stage shows from Portland Center Stage at the Armory. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive, so give us a call at 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. You can go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions on our daily drawing. But you know what? That's not the only reason you should be calling in. You should be calling in because you enjoy the KBOO Evening News. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. You know, that's something I absolutely love about KBOO. I mean, maybe I'm a little biased because if you listen to KBOO, you know I am a newsroom volunteer here. But I remember when I first started listening to KBOO, I was just amazed that they were able to produce an evening newscast by volunteers. I mean, this, everything you're hearing, the anchors that you're listening to right now, this is a volunteer effort because we want to bring you the news. News that are, based in facts. News that is unlike any kind of news you can find in Portland. News that you actually want to hear that's keeping you informed. 877-500-5266. Again, that phone number is 877-500-5266.
And, you know, in addition to that being entered to win a drawing for six pairs of tickets to the mainstage shows at the Portland Center Stage at the Armory, you can also get any number of tickets for your membership at KBOO. This is Ticket Tuesday. You support the local music scene with your KBOO membership. So see what makes it so special in person and see a show on KBOO. The number to call is 877-500-5266. Step up and support the music that this station is devoted to, this music that you're devoted to, the news and public affairs program that you care about. Call right now, 877-500-KBOO.
The Oregon Parks and Recreation Department announced Monday that four park areas closed due to the Eagle Creek fire in the gorge have now reopened, though many more are still closed. It's been 3 weeks since the fire caused the department to close the roads and rec areas. Today it announced the reopening of the Rooster Rock State Park, the Portland Women's Forum Viewpoint, Starvation Creek State Park, and the Dabney Recreation Area. The department also announced that all major and historic structures on the state park land withstood the fire, along with structures like the Multnomah Falls Lodge, which firefighters saved as flames consumed the forest around it. The other state parks in the gorge will stay closed until staff are cleared to inspect them. Even then, some parks will still probably face longer closures, depending on the extent of the damage.
Beaverton is winning props from Money Magazine. The Oregon city of about 100,000 people, about 7 miles west of Portland, ranks number 12 in the country on its list of the 100 best places to live in America. Money praises Beaverton for its quality of life, including more than 100 scenic parks, 77 vineyards, and about 142 days of clear skies per year. Beaverton also has a high school graduation rate of more than 80%, projected job growth of 8.7%, and median household income of more than $58,000 per year. Money also likes Beaverton's average commute time of about 22 minutes and average home price of $353,000. It praises the city for hosting one of the most ethnically diverse populations in the area and a thriving restaurant scene.
Activists in the area of Denver, Colorado, held a renters' rights action last Thursday to draw attention to a mobile home park threatened with the eviction of its longtime residents. Residents of the Denver Meadows Mobile Home Park in Aurora, Colorado, have been fighting to keep their homes since they first received eviction notices from the property owner in spring of 2015. Property owner Sean Lustigman has applied for zoning changes to allow the construction of high-rise commercial and residential buildings on the current site of the theoretically mobile village. With the help of the advocacy groups Resident-Owned Communities, or ROC USA, residents of Denver Meadows have raised enough money to purchase the property from the owner at a reasonable market price at around $15 million. Those involved in the public demonstration last Thursday served a nearby law office with fabricated eviction notices and demanded that they stop aggravating the general housing crisis. The law firm Setter, Hamrick, and Sulzer, targeted in the recent action, prides itself of representing landlords and evicting more residents than any other. One resident, Denver Meadows, said that it will cost her $12,000 to have her mobile home cut in half and transported, since it is not actually a mobile home in its present form. The Aurora, Colorado event was one node of a National Renter Week of action organized by the Right to the City Alliance.
Last night on CNN, Senators Bernie Sanders and Lindsey Graham debated the merits of the Affordable Care Act, commonly known as Obamacare. The debate has been applauded as a show of civil disagreement, with Sanders and Graham remaining respectful despite their disagreeing about health care issues. Sanders, who is spearheading a new national initiative of his own, which he calls Medicare for All, defended Obamacare against Graham's criticism. The debate occurred just before the latest Republican attempt to repeal Obamacare went down in flames today after failing to raise enough support in the Senate. At the Cassidy Graham hearing in Washington, D.C. yesterday, protesters blocked hallways in the Senate and chanted shame at those who would repeal the Affordable Care Act. A discussion of Sanders' proposed Medicare for All bill will be hosted by the grassroots volunteer group Bernie PDX tonight in Portland at 7 at the Watershed, 5040 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue.
Today is National Voter Registration Day. If you are an Oregon resident and need to register or update your registration, visit sos.oregon.gov and click on the Register to Vote button.
You're listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work very hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn to pitch in. Joining us again are Jenna and Jenka to talk to you about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
That's right. You're listening to KBOO during the middle of our fall membership drive. We're actually at the tail end of it, just a couple more days to go, and you're listening to the KBOO Evening News, brought to you Monday through Friday by a whole cohort of volunteers that come in every single day just to write the news so that you can be hearing news that is worthy of your listening ears. You appreciate that. Become a member. Show your support for the level of journalism that is brought to you every day by our volunteers. 877-500-5266. Again, that phone number to become a member is 877-500-5266. 500-5266. 5266.
I like the idea that that is worthy of your ears, because I know KBOO listeners, you're smart, you're beautiful, you are thoughtful, you're people who are empowered, people who are civically engaged and who really care about making this world a better place. And that is the kind of epitome of our listeners. And I know that our listeners care about this station, care so much that so many of you voluntarily give a contribution every single month. And I'm asking people to dig deep. We've got about $25,000 to go. We've got a little over two days to do it. So that could be five people giving $5,000 each, or maybe could be 1,000 people giving $25 each. So each of those would be a member eligible for all of the member benefits. No matter if you are someone who gives $25 or if you're someone who gives $5,000, we are all equals here at KBOO. We really, really appreciate people digging deep and giving something a little more than say another organization, because KBOO, it's like getting a share in a co-op. It's like you become an owner of this radio station. So maybe you are a member of a co-op. Maybe you have other memberships that you have contributed to. KBOO can be one of them, and KBOO is really the essential one, because it brings everyone else together. All of these community groups that you hear on the airwaves, the stories that you're getting on the KBOO Evening News, the many, many organizations that you hear on the air, that is possible because we have support from people like yourself. So now it can be you. If you've never done it before, this is the perfect time. We are trying to raise this last $25,000 of our $105,000 goal. We are within spitting distance of the finish line, and we need your support to get there. Call now, 877-500-5266. It's so important to support these community voices on the airwaves.
If you're like me, you're a listener to the KBOO Evening News. I'm a fan of the KBOO Evening News because I know I'm going to get the type of stories that I'm not going to be able to hear on any of the mainstream, well, you know, mainstream quote-unquote news. And, you know, and we also get, one of my favorite things that we have here on the KBOO Evening News is the news in depth. Interesting interviews where I just know when I'm walking around the community, I hear people say, oh, yes, I heard that on KBOO. I heard that on KBOO News, because KBOO News brings you interviews from people within our community, people who are bringing you the stories and the voices of just from what's happening within Portland and talking about maybe sometimes the issues that the mainstream doesn't want to have to talk about because it's not bringing them in a quick buck. But KBOO decides to bring in the type of guest that's going to bring you the type of real wealth that you want, knowledge wealth, right? The kind of wealth that helps us support our democracy, helps build a better, more inclusive community. I appreciate that. That's why I like the KBOO Evening News, because I know I'm going to get the kind of interviews I am not going to get anywhere else. So you like that kind of interview, keep supporting that. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. It's literally the members. It's literally our supporters that allow this type of just amazing programming to come to you. That's brought by volunteers.
Yeah, and you know that in depth tonight, we're going to have the filmmakers with Charlie versus Goliath that's coming to the Witzel Auditorium this week. And you hear about this action by former U.S. Senate candidate Charlie Hardy. That's going to be at 5:45, and that's coming right up. We've got so much content just packed into this hour of news programming. This is not a commercial-free radio station, so our hour of news programming is 365 days a year. We've got programming that is commercial free, and we do that because we have community support, and we're not a station that takes time out of this essential programming to try and sell you something that you don't need. No, we are a station that is commercial free and that's able to go in depth on the issues of the day, and we're able to do that hour after hour for more than 6 million commercial free minutes since 1968 because we have community support, because we have listeners support. Now is the time to give. You've only got a couple of days left in this membership drive. Help us reach our goal. When we reach this goal, we will be done. 877-500-5266. Think about a $10 a month contribution. I know that that is doable for many people. You get a KBOO t-shirt. You can get this Higher Being t-shirt produced by local artist Anna Vo. You can see a picture of it on the KBOO.fm website. You can also give online there, or you can call 877-500-5266. We love to hear those phones ring.
And don't forget, you can if you become a member today, you will be entered into our daily drawing. Today's drawing is for 6 pairs of main stage shows from the Portland Center Stage at the Armory. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive, so give us a call, 877-500-5266. You can also go on the website to learn more rules and restrictions, or to click on the donate button and to become a member of KBOO, because you love the KBOO Evening News. You're listening to it. You love what it brings to your, I don't know, your informed day. 877-500-5266. Become a member of KBOO now.
And now the latest in environmental news from our friends at Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. California plans to generate 50% of its energy from renewable sources by 2030. The state is almost halfway to this goal and making good progress. But sometimes these new power sources add more electricity than the state can use. Leah Guccione is with the nonprofit Rocky Mountain Institute.
California has seasonal variations in both how much energy customers want to use and how much energy the state generates.
For example, moderate temperatures near the end of winter means less energy is needed, but a warm, wet spring can increase hydropower production.
And you also start to have better solar output because of how the amount of daylight is changing in those months.
New natural gas power plants are also contributing to the energy surplus. To keep from overloading its electrical grid, the state is selling, or in extreme cases, paying other states to take its excess energy. As energy storage technologies improve, the hope is that California will be able to store its excess power for use when needed. That will be a major advance in the transition to a clean energy system. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Environmentalists, Native Americans, and water protectors are gearing up for another fight in Minnesota. Enbridge's new Line 3 oil pipeline is coming to northern Minnesota unless activists manage to derail the project. Today and continuing into tonight, the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission is holding the first in a series of public hearings on whether or not to allow the crude oil pipeline to cross northern Minnesota. Minnesota's Department of Commerce previously handed Calgary, Canada-based Enbridge a setback earlier this month with an analysis released on September 11th that condemned the Line 3 replacement project. Enbridge has already begun construction on a 14-mile segment of the pipe near its terminal in Superior on the Minnesota-Wisconsin border. Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton, referring to the Department of Commerce report, said that, quote, discord should be recognized as part of the wisdom of the process. The Commerce Department represents the public interest in matters before the state PUC. The Minnesota PUC has until April of next year to make its decision on whether or not to grant a certificate of need to the pipeline upgrade.
The widow of an Army officer criticizes President Trump for using her husband's death as an occasion to chastise NFL players who refused to stand during the national anthem. On Monday, Trump called on NFL fans to boycott the league, trying to stir up a quote, tremendous backlash against the increasing number of NFL players who remain seated or kneel during the national anthem. As part of his campaign to shame protesting athletes, Trump invoked the name of a former NFL athlete and Army Ranger, Pat Tillman, who died in Afghanistan in 2004. A military cover-up attempted to hide the real reason for Tillman's death, which was a result of friendly fire. Marie Tillman, the widow of the deceased officer, distanced herself from Trump's remarks, saying that her husband died to protect civil freedoms, including the right to protest. Back in January, Marie Tillman also spoke out against Trump's travel ban, saying, quote, this is not the country Pat dreamed of. In other sports news, we've learned that the FBI is investigating criminal corruption and fraud in the NCAA and NBA. At noon today, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York City announced the indictment on criminal charges of 10 college basketball coaches and personnel of the national sports brand Adidas. They accuse university coaches and sportswear marketing executives of financially bribing the families of high school athletes to lure those athletes to play at Adidas-sponsored universities. One of the Adidas executives named in the suit is Portland resident James Gatto, who faced charges of wire fraud, conspiracy, and money laundering. The press conference was live-streamed on Facebook. The FBI launched a probe of alleged criminal corruption in the NCAA in 2015.
And now it's time for today's report on National Native News from NV1. This is the daily newscast dedicated to Native American news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Some Northern Ute tribal members went before the Aspen City Council in Colorado Monday to urge them to vote to recognize the second Monday of October as Indigenous Peoples Day. The Aspen Times reports former Northern Ute Chairman Roland McCook asked the council to acknowledge Indigenous people, including the contributions of Utes, instead of a holiday honoring Christopher Columbus. Cities across the country are moving to replace the day with Indigenous Peoples Day. People have voiced concern, saying the federal holiday represents genocide of Native Americans. The council's next meeting happens to fall on the second Monday of October, when council members are expected to vote on the proclamation. In Salt Lake City, the city council is also considering to recognize Indigenous Peoples Day. Salt Lake City Fox 13 reports the resolution may be discussed next week. Utah state lawmakers rejected a bill last year to rename Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. If passed, Salt Lake City would be the first city in Utah to replace and recognize the contributions of Native people instead of Columbus. Native Americans recently held a ceremony for two renovated totem poles for the city of Eugene, Oregon. KLCC's Brian Bull reports.
At the Amazon Pool, students from the 4J Natives program, tribal elders, and a drum group ushered in the first totem pole. Brenda Brainerd is head of the Natives program and is with the Confederated Tribes of Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Siuslaw Indians.
These poles have all been blessed, if you will, by the local tribal people. We've always invited them to participate. We do have lots of kids who are from local tribes that have helped carve them, help paint them, help rehabilitate them.
The second pole was installed near the DeFazio Bridge. Whether swimmers or pedestrians, Brainerd hopes people have one major takeaway from seeing the totems.
If they just can get that pause moment to say, oh, here were Native people, and this is the evidence of what they were and what they still are, that we're not old-timey, that we're still here among them.
The city of Eugene asked local Natives to help renovate the two poles. A third was far too worn, so Brainerd says they'll soon start carving a new one that'll eventually go up at Sheldon High School. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
In Alaska, a Bethel man is working to incorporate his native language into technology. KYUK's Teresa Kotsarilis has more.
When we were young, we all recited the Yuyarak at the top of our lungs. It goes, Huankuta Yupigni.
Christopher Liu grew up speaking Yupik. He's now a grad student at Stanford studying electrical engineering, and he's trying to train a computer program to recognize Yupik speech.
Would you say you're building Yupik Siri?
I think that's the hope.
Liu hopes that his program will help bring Yupik into the internet age.
Having access to Yupik through technology is one way of allowing it to persist and making it easier to use.
To build a Yupik Siri, he needs 100 hours of recorded conversations to feed into the software. Transcribing the tape can get tedious, but Liu says his own Yupik is improving.
I get to learn more about traditional knowledge. I always think of Samyo. I still don't know yet what it means fully. That was the religion that existed here before Christianity. And I'm still trying to learn what that means. I should know what it means.
For KYUK, I'm Teresa Kotsarilis.
The U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs is holding an oversight hearing Wednesday on human trafficking. Senators will examine a federal report on human trafficking of Native Americans. Witnesses include advocates and federal officials. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Now is your chance to show support for the work of our volunteers, the work they put to bring you the newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Jenna and Janka to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
That's right. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and we're in the middle of our fall membership drive. We're actually in the last few days of it. We have just about like $25,000 left to raise over the next few days. So it's a perfect time to give us a call here at KBOO, 877-500-5266. Again, that phone number is 877-500-5266. We have volunteers here at our phones waiting to take your call. And you know, that whole last segment there of the news is just such an example of why you listen to the KBOO Evening News, where KBOO News chooses to bring you the voices of people that you won't hear from on other mainstream radio stations, because KBOO News says to themselves, like, hey, what are the voices that are being erased in our mainstream media? What are those voices that aren't just being erased, but are being withheld, that are being oppressed, that are being silenced? And then KBOO says, hey, let's have those on as our guests. Let's make those the feature of our news. And that's why you tune in, because those are the voices you want to hear. Continue to support that. Put those voices on the air. 877-500-5266.
You know, local focus is so important, and looking beyond what is represented elsewhere on the media is a way to see the possibilities, to see the fullness of the Northwest cultural ecosystem. And here, the KBOO Evening News does that day after day with a volunteer team. I know that you appreciate that, and I ask you to give $10 a month. You could get your Democracy Now! T-shirt. You could give a little more, $25 a month, and get your KBOO hoodie. Stay warm through the winter here in the Northwest. The number to call, 877-500-5266.
And remember, if you become a member today, you'll be entered into our daily drawing. Today's drawing is for six pairs of main stage shows from Portland Center Stage at the Armory. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive. So give us a call to be entered today, 877-500-5266. Now to be entered, go to kboo.fm for the rules and restrictions on that. You can also go to kboo.fm to click on that donate button. Takes a couple minutes to become a member of KBOO. But you know, why don't you give us a call? Talk to another volunteer. Talk to a real person. 877-500-5266. Come in at that $10 a month. That's $120 a year. You can get one of our KBOO t-shirts. And, you know, it's Ticket Tuesday. There's all sorts of other tickets and everything. We have all sorts of incentives to get you to call. But you don't need all those incentives, because you're listening to your incentive right now. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. You appreciate that. Maybe you're one of those people who's driving home right now, and that's part of your daily commute where you get to get filled up with all the actual news that KBOO brings you. If you're doing that, pull over. You know, we want you to be safe. We want you to be a member of KBOO. We want you to pull over. You know, it only takes a couple minutes. You're like, yeah, I'm tired of sitting in this traffic. I'll pull over and call 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-5266. Become a member of KBOO now.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Making Contact at 6 p.m. on the Queer Boo Corner. At 7 p.m., it's a special from Carlos Chavez on the effects on people serving long-term prison sentences. For tonight's weather, we can expect a low of 65 and starry skies. Tomorrow's weather will be a perfect reflection of a midsummer day with clear skies and a high of 85. Same for the Hood River area, and clear and 75 in Lincoln City. Today in history, in 1960, the first ever TV debate between presidential nominees took place. Democrat John F. Kennedy and Republican Richard M. Nixon faced off in front of a national TV audience from Chicago. Our quote of the day is from a filmmaker, M. Night Shyamalan, who says, "What do you have to ask yourself is, what kind of person are you? Are you the kind that sees miracles? Or do you believe that people just get lucky?"
French trade unions are blocking access to several few deposits as they protest an overhaul of employment laws. Protesters' unions set up a roadblock in front of a refinery in southern France. They also blocked fuel deposits in western France, and they held go-slow operations on highways near Paris. Trying to prevent fuel shortages, France's President Emmanuel Macron sent police to some sites to ensure by force that protesters could not block access. The French president signed 5 labor reforms last week, which will be the first big economic change since he started in office in May. The changes include capping payouts on firings that are found to be unfair and giving companies greater freedom to hire and fire workers and to decide on working conditions. The unions have failed so far to stop the reforms.
Saudi Arabia right now is the world's only country that legally forbids women from driving. But that's about to change. Saudi state media says King Salman has issued an order allowing women in the country to drive for the first time. The Saudi press agency says the order will start by June of 2018. Rights groups have campaigned for years to allow women in Saudi Arabia to drive, and some women have even gone to prison for defying the law.
The Irish government announced today that there will be a referendum on the country's abortion laws in May or June of 2018, just months before Pope Francis plans to visit the Catholic-majority country. Ireland's abortion laws are written into the national constitution, which places the right to life of an unborn child on equal footing with the right to life of the mother. The movement to amend the constitution has been steadily growing for years. In March, thousands of activists brought Dublin to a halt during the Strike for Repeal rally. Almost 4,000 Irish women, including women from Northern Ireland, traveled to England and Wales to end their pregnancies in 2016, according to UK government statistics. Local abortion rights activists applaud today's announcement, but say the terms of the referendum will only be a first step for the repeal movement.
An iceberg 3 times the size of Manhattan broke off from the Pine Island Glacier in western Antarctica, and it's now drifting out into open waters. Measuring more than 71 square miles, this is the second largest iceberg to ever break off the continent. The glacier has been losing ice at an increasing rate for the past 40 years, but chunks of this size are rare. It's also unusual how this iceberg broke off. It broke from the center of the glacier and not from the side. This could be from warmer ocean water under the ice, eating away from beneath. If this trend continues, it will mean higher seas. The Pine Island Glacier alone could raise sea levels 1.7 feet if it all melted. Scientists will keep monitoring the glacier, as well as the other Antarctic ice shelves.
Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico with devastating force last week, causing devastation that some call apocalyptic to the already struggling island. Governor Ricardo Rosello was quick to remind the U.S. government that Puerto Ricans are American citizens as he urged Congress to approve an aid package to bring relief to the battered Commonwealth. Maria left most of Puerto Rico with washed-out roads, no power, and no way to get to vital food and medical attention to remote areas. Plus, about 44% of the population has no access to clean drinking water. Crews from the U.S. Department of Energy have teamed up with the Puerto Rico Power Authority, FEMA, and the New York Power Authority to assess the damage to the power grid, but it could be months before power is restored to the entire island. Added to all of this, the Guashataca Dam in the northwest corner of the island has suffered major damage and is spilling water, putting approximately 70,000 people in danger. An evacuation order went into effect for the area, but with phone service down, the National Guard had to go house to house to spread the word. Democratic leaders have urged the White House to deploy naval supply ships and a hospital ship to the island. However, the response from the administration was that it would be better to send by air. According to the White House, Trump has said he plans to visit the island, but as of this time, no date is set for the trip.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced and driven newscast, and we encourage your participation. You can call us with your breaking news stories, and here's the number, 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Al Kahn, myself, Annette Newell, Tony Glamour Trampletique, Tom Flynn, Kanan Schlesinger, and Jasmine Moneymaker. The producer is Zelos Marchant. Special thanks to Native Voice One. Our engineer is Wesley the Potentiometer Seiwei. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelo Celos Marchant. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on Translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on Translator K220HR. I'm Manette Newell.
And I'm Kyle Carrezzi. Coming up tomorrow on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Wednesday Talk Radio with Paul Rowland, he welcomes Renona LaDuke and filmmaker Carrie Pickett to talk about their new film, First Daughter and the Black Snake. At 9, on Political Perspectives, we hear the voices of a demonstration held outside the White House for the inaugural event of the People's Congress of Resistance to Say No to War and U.S. Imperialism. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on the Recovery Zone, Scott Clues discusses his new book, Pacific Northwest Medicinal Plants, Identify, Harvest, and Use 120 Wild Herbs for Health and Wellness. KBOO keeps you informed, and you can get involved during this fall membership drive. Call 877-500-KBOO or go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member.
And coming up next at 6 p.m. on the Queer Boo Corner, from our colleagues from Making Contact and Radio Project Org, is Staying Rooted, Community-Focused Economic Models and an Encore of Brightness and Courage, the Fight for Transgender Access to Gender-Specific Spaces. But first, we go back to Jenna and Jenka to talk about supporting people-powered community radio, the only volunteer-hosted station in Oregon.
That's right. We're here during our fall membership drive here at KBOO, and we just need one more person to call at the $15 a month level, and we will reach our goal before 6 o'clock.
Whoa,
so that could
you're
be
out
you.
There. Who are you? You're out there. Give us a call.
I know there is someone who is able to do $15 a month and get the KBOO USB drive of exclusive audio that includes Winona LaDuke, who we just heard is going to be on tomorrow. It also has so many, many, many pieces of audio from our 50 years, almost 50 years of existence here, going back to 1968 with Margaret Mead, Bell Hooks, Ken Kesey, Paul Robeson, W.E.B. Du Bois, Dick Gregory, Ward Churchill. So many, so many amazing voices on this. $10 a month or more will get you that KBOO USB drive full of exclusive audio. And our aim here at KBOO is to present underrepresented views. We're able to do that only because of you, the listener, the member. These views might be challenging, they might be unfamiliar, but these are necessary for a full examination of the world that you live in. We partner with you to bring a dynamic, engaged newscast, and we do that every single weekday, and we are only able to do that because we have listener supporters like yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you have been holding out, you've been hearing us ask for your contribution, and you have been waiting until the last minute, wait no longer. Give right now. It's a perfect time to give. It's Ticket Tuesday, and you can support community radio. 877-500-5266.
You know, one thing I love about the KBOO Evening News is that it's just this representative of everything that I love about KBOO, that KBOO tries to empower individuals. You know, when people come into the KBOO newsroom, they don't need to have any experience being a news person. They don't need to be a seasoned journalist. KBOO teaches people, because why? KBOO sees value in having informed citizens and having a community that understands how to interpret the news, knows how to give you the news, knows how to understand the difference between facts and fantasy, and how to prioritize the kind of information that you, the KBOO listener, want to be hearing. This is what I love about the KBOO News. So here we have volunteers who come in and they say, teach me the news. And we say, here's all the tools you need to become a citizen journalist. And as a KBOO listener, you know how powerful that is when we put the mic into the hands of the people who are on the streets every single day, who are in your community, who understand the voices that need to be amplified. You appreciate that. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. Become a member because you appreciate what KBOO brings to you and brings to your community. It brings people who are far more informed now, people who know how to bring you the local news that we know is not going to be brought to you on other mainstream stations.
This just in, we have two pairs of tickets to Charlie versus Goliath, which is going to be at the Northwest Film Center this Thursday. For the next two people that call in the membership at the $5 a month level or above, that could be done all at once at $60 or a monthly deduction, $5 a month. Now, we're just about to hear from the filmmaker who is going to be here on and is here live in the studio, in fact, to talk about 75-year-old Charlie Hardy, a retired Catholic priest who decided to take on the system. And it's Charlie versus Goliath, a great film that's going to be at the Witzel Auditorium this Thursday. And if you call now, you can get one of those two pairs of tickets that we have available for a $5 a month contribution. This is a limited time offer, and we ask you to call right now, get in on it, so that you can take a loved one over to see this film at the Witzel on Thursday. The number to call, 877-500-5266. Call right now before the tickets are claimed. I see these tickets being snatched up one after the other, and we only have a few of the original tickets left. So call right now and get in on it before that chance goes away. The number again is 877-500-5266, and we need those calls before 6 o'clock. So you've only got 17 minutes to do it.
And remember, if you become a member now, you'll be entered into our daily drawing. Today's drawing is for six pairs of main stage shows from Portland Center Stage at the Armory. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive, so give us a call, 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions. And you, remember, you can also go to kboo.fm for that donate button that's right up there. It's red. It's beautiful. It's so easy to become a member of KBOO. Only takes a couple minutes, or give us a call. We have volunteers waiting to take your call at our phones here. 877-500-5266. Show yourself your support for the kind of news, for the kind of listening you want to be doing every day to stay an informed citizen. So give us a call, 877-500-5266, to become a member of KBOO today.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
We want to take a look now at the driving force behind the 2016 campaign. Money.
The Federal Election Commission just released the campaign fundraising numbers.
$47 million.
$85
million. $119
million. Over $180
million. $900 million.
Well over $1 billion.
Each side.
Each. Yeah.
It's hard to even know what to make of these numbers.
Elections are bought and sold now by billionaires.
The average citizens look at this and say, where do I fit into this?
Can you win an election when you're so greatly outspent, or is that over?
Dear Charlie, hope you're doing okay. Sorry I can't do better for helping. I am in a very low income. This woman had like a $900 a month Social Security check, and she sent me $100. I mean, again, it blows your mind.
Charlie versus Goliath is a documentary about a destitute former Catholic priest named Charlie Hardy who challenges America's political elite. Known to some as the Bernie Sanders of Wyoming, Charlie spent 8 years living in a cardboard shack in Venezuela before returning back home to run for the U.S. Senate while taking a stand against money and politics. Charlie versus Goliath is a call to action to fight for what is right. And we have in the studio award-winning filmmaker Reed Lindsay. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here on KBOO. Much respect to you all, and love community radio, so very happy to be here.
Oh, thank you. So what was your experience working on the film?
Well, it was an incredible experience. Charlie is a very inspiring guy, so that was fun. And we drove all around the state of Wyoming in this 1970 Crown school bus. So we slept. Charlie slept on the floor of the bus. Mm-hmm. His volunteers had little beds, and he slept on the floor. And I slept in the bus sometimes, in a tent sometimes. You know, it can get quite cold in Wyoming, and we just drove all around the state. And it was a camp. I've seen a lot of political campaigns around the world in this country. I had not seen one like that. So it was not always easy, but a lot of fun and very inspiring.
What drew you in about Charlie and made you wanted to do a film on this guy?
Well, I knew Charlie for many years. I knew him in Latin America. I was a journalist there, and Charlie had lived in a cardboard shack for 8 years in Venezuela. He's from Wyoming originally, and he's a priest, so he was doing missionary work there and just living among the people. It's not every day you meet someone who's lived in a cardboard shack voluntarily. And he just, besides that, just comes off as the most humble, sincere person you'll ever meet. Unique person. And so, you know, we stayed in touch, and he decided to run for the U.S. Senate. And I said, "You're crazy, Charlie. You're way too honest to do that." But he did it, and I just thought, you know, when do you find somebody like that with no money, no experience, and who is so sincere and just an ordinary person running for office? And I felt like it was worth telling a story.
So, including Wyoming, what footage do you have from Charlie's life that made it into the documentary?
Well, we uncovered some old footage of him in Venezuela, which is really wild. And he was actually quoting, he had this old video, I don't know what they were filming on, from the 80s, and he was quoting these really revolutionary lyrics from Ali Primera. It was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. I was so glad that we were able to find that footage. And so that made it into the film. But we didn't find a lot else. There, you know, a few photographs. But mainly the film it's a real Verite style film. It's not a Talking Heads doc. It's a film. It's a real personal journey. The style is real fly on the wall. You're following Charlie around, and you sort of feel like you're immersed in the campaign.
Now, in the preview that we just heard a few moments ago from your film, you can hear about the tremendous amounts of money that have to be spent in politics to win a campaign like a Senate campaign. You know, hundreds of millions of dollars being spent. How did he compete with those forces on Capitol Hill in terms of the money aspect of it?
Yeah, well, he was up against the incumbent. 18 years he had been in office, and now close to 20, Senator Mike Enzi. And more than half of his money came from PACs, which was the second largest percent of money coming from PACs of any other U.S. Senate candidate except for one, Jeff Sessions. From everything from Google to McDonald's to Major League Baseball, energy companies, pharmaceutical companies. And Charlie he refused to accept money from PACs and had very little money, just some little, very, very little funds from individuals. And the fact is, you can't really compete. That's sort of a point of the story. But it doesn't mean you can't try. And it doesn't mean you can't inspire people along the way and make a difference, even if you don't win. You know, I was at the People Summit earlier this year, and one thing I kept hearing is that it's not always about winning. You know, sometimes the Democratic Party, for example, is always saying, well, we have to beat the Republicans. So candidates are constantly compromising their principles in order to win. Well, it's not always about a winning. I know Bernie Sanders was there, and he said, you know, the first time he ran, I think he won 2%, and then the second second time he won 1%. Charlie thought he was going to win the whole time, but he was running on principles and he never abandoned those.
What do you think the most important thing for the audience to know going into the movie?
I think that this movie, its purpose is to inspire. Mm-hmm. I think that is the purpose. It took a lot of sacrifice to make this film, and what's kept me going the whole time is that I feel like the film does have a purpose to inspire people. It's very easy, I think, when you're trying to make a difference in the world, to sometimes question whether you are. To feel down about it, to wonder. And so while the film is about politics and about money in politics and how the political system is broken, I think really the central message of the film is the importance of not giving up, of fighting for what you believe in, even when the odds seem overwhelming, even when it seems clear you're going to fail. Yeah. So I think that if you're feeling a little down or feeling like you need a little, your optimism tank filled, then it's a good film to watch.
What on earth was he doing for 8 years living in a cardboard shack in Venezuela?
Well, Charlie, he went as part of with the Mary Knoll missionaries, and they're a very progressive group in the Catholic Church. And he was a priest, and he felt he was in Wyoming for a long time, and he kept asking his superiors, because it's a very hierarchical institution, as you know, the Catholic Church, that he wanted to go to Latin America, and he wanted to live among the people. He felt like he could make more of a difference there, and they put him out there. Not all the priests who and lay people who went down there would stay in the shacks, but he wanted to do that. And you know, he always says that it's the best people he's ever known are the people who lived in that community. And he was there at the time of the Caracaso, when the riots against the food riots there in 89. And he was there, you know, advocating for the people, advocating for better housing, standing up for people in the neighborhood, but mainly just living amongst them and just being with them.
Is there any people like Charlie that you know of who use individual fund campaign to go for political office?
Yeah, I don't think Charlie is the only one. He's not the only candidate. And you know, Charlie's run was in 2014, and what attracted me to it was the fact that he was talking about money and politics. It's an issue I feel is really important. I lived in Washington, D.C., and was a correspondent. I was a bureau chief there for Telesur, and it hit home for me that that's the central issue, I felt, of what was wrong in Washington, and not many candidates talk about it, and Charlie was talking about it. And 2 years later, you know, Bernie Sanders brought that to the national stage, and I think more and more candidates are talking about it. And what's really fascinating about Wyoming is that as conservative as it is, as red of a state as it is, so many people out there are fired up and angry about this issue. But I don't think that people in the Democratic Party talk to them about it. I don't think a lot of people in this sort of establishment talk to them about this issue, but they know about it. They're not dumb. They're aware that it's a central issue, and so I think that it has it could be an issue that really connects people across the country, you know, regardless of their party affiliation or ideology.
Now, you have a Portland screening of your film Charlie versus Goliath coming up this week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're really excited to be here in Portland. We're just getting going with a national screening campaign. The screening is going to be on Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Portland Art Museum. It's sponsored by the Northwest Film Center. And Charlie's going to be there. He's flying in. He just called me a few minutes ago, and he's flying in on a red eye. He's coming from Venezuela, actually. Wow. And he'll be arriving tomorrow morning. He'll be there. I'll be there. The cinematographer, Jahan Hafiz, is an award-winning cinematographer, a filmmaker, journalist. She'll be there as well. And I've reached out to a lot of grassroots groups here in Portland, and a lot of them said they're coming, which is really exciting. Bernie PDX and Oregon Afterburn and Our Indivisible Revolution Sherwood, Progressive Caucus of Oregon, Independence for Progressive Action, Socialist Alternative Portland, and Indivisible R1. They're all coming. So I'm excited to see all these groups. I'm excited to hear from them as well about what's happening, you know, here in Portland and in Oregon.
Are there any other projects that you want people to know about that you're working on?
Yeah, the other project I'm working on is a documentary series about baseball in Cuba. I've been to Cuba about 10 times the last couple of years. I'd been there previously, and I feel like baseball is this connecting point between the two countries. And Cuba is a country that is constantly misportrayed in the U.S. media. And I felt like baseball sort of could be a great vehicle to get into what life is really like there, and in a nuanced way, and not from sort of the Miami perspective or the perspective of the U.S. media usually portrays Cuba in.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is your first full-length film that you've done, but you've done other projects before in the past.
Yeah, this is my first feature-length documentary film. I've done other projects, many other documentary films and journalistic work. I lived in Haiti for 5 years. I was in Latin America, mostly in Latin America. I was also in Egypt and in Libya during the Arab Spring, so covered things from there. Worked for The Real News a lot over there. Worked for Telesur quite a bit in Latin America. And I've worked for sort of mainstream. I've worked for alternative media. I've worked a lot independently. And this one has been a completely independent project, self-funded, with a lot of support from a lot of people, a lot of people volunteering their time and energy and to make it happen.
So as we start to wrap up, is there anything that you want to add?
No, I just, it would be one, I'd encourage everyone to come out. Again, it's a really inspiring film, and I feel like every screening we've had, people come away feeling fired up, excited, motivated, and so and we can always use a little motivation, and inspiration in our lives. So if you're free on Thursday at 7 o'clock, it would be an honor if you could come and see the film.
And to get a ticket, there is a website for that.
That's right. Thanks. Yeah, there is. If you go to the Northwest Film Center as website, which is nwfilm.org, and then it's nwfilm.org/films/Charlie-vs-Goliath. That's really long. If you go to Charlie versus Goliath, type that into Facebook, you'll see the webpage, and there's an event for it, so you can find the info there.
All right, well, Reed, I want to thank you for coming in. It was a very inspiring thing that you told us. I really want to see it for the
awesome.
Film. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Cool. And is there a place where people can see some of your other projects?
Yeah, I don't have a webpage.
Okay.
We gotta
get you working on that.
I know. If anyone wants to do a webpage for me, I need help on that. Yeah.
Well, that's great. It was wonderful to see that you're working to make the story come to life, and it's kind of like a predecessor to Bernie Sanders. And did you know that Sanders is actually the most popular politician in America? I remember a story a couple of weeks ago about all the polls that have been done recently that definitely is picking up steam.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, in Wyoming, when he ran, I went there for the primary, and I thought, you know, who's going to support Bernie Sanders? This place is so red. I mean, it was a struggle with Charlie, and we went there, and Bernie he went and spoke, and it was amazing how many people came out of the woodwork and how many people supported him in a very red state. Mm-hmm. His message is really resonating. So you never know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Reed Lindsay, thank you for coming in today and talking to us about your film.
Thank you. Appreciate Thanks so much.
It. Thank you. Okay.
KBOO's Fall Drive Daily Prize Drawing rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the daily prize drawing. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance of winning. The prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household will be accepted each day. Winner will be determined in a random drawing daily between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. Winner may be notified by telephone the following day. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions, and for the name of the winner, go to kboo.fm/fall-daily-prize. And thank you!
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Musubi, located 2134 Southeast Division Street, Portland's takeout spot for Hawaiian sushi rice snacks, filled with house-made spam and other delicacies.